You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
All things are possible, this is His word. Receive it, it's written for you. Believe in His promises, God cannot fail.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Psalm 103, 1 through 22, but I want you to take special note of verse 12. It's a psalm of David, "Let all that I am," or "let everything that is within me," the King James says, "praise the Lord with my whole heart. I will praise His holy name." Amen? "Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things He does for me." This is the benefit package. He forgives what? All of my sins. If you're forgiven, you're free. Hello? Jesus said, "Satan has nothing in me." Think about that. Jesus said, "Satan does not have one little address in me." This is the will of God, that all of your sins are forgiven. So Satan has nothing in you or on you. He forgives all my sins and heals all my... Now, when we say diseases, we know, okay, well, those are titles that are given to diseases. He heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death, crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with what kind of things? Good things. My youth. Anybody going to sign up for the benefit package this morning? My youth. Can you remember that far back? My youth. It's in here on purpose so you can see. Oh, Pastor, there's a brand new herb that you can take to get your, you know, it's the fountain of youth. No, God is the fountain of youth. My youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly. He revealed His character to Moses and His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is... Oh, thank you, Jesus. Merciful, gracious, compassionate, and merciful. Slow to get angry. Boy, a lot of wicked people ought to be praising God, saying, "I sure am glad God doesn't get angry fast." We look at some of these leaders and say, why are they still sucking air? Because God is a merciful God, and He's giving them an opportunity to get right. The Lord is compassionate, merciful, slow to get angry, filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all of our sins. And can anybody say amen? He does not deal harshly with us. Harshly with us as we deserve. Not some of us, but all of us. He doesn't deal with us as we deserve. For His unfailing love toward those who fear Him. Anybody in the house that fears God? has respect for God isn't like, oh, I'm afraid to approach God. No, the Word says those who fear Him come boldly into His presence. That means God is not going to withhold access. It means God has an open door policy. You ever worked in the industry where they had an open door policy? That meant you could come anytime because what you had to say was going to be heard and received. God has an open door policy. Come boldly. For His unfailing love toward those who fear Him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. Now we come to verse 12. This is the verse I want you to get a hold of this morning. He has removed our transgressions, our sins, our iniquities, as far as the east is from the west. He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. Hallelujah. If you were here last Sunday morning, we were talking about forgiveness. Forgiveness, right? Now we're just seeing what God's done with us and our sins and transgressions. He's removed them as far as the east is from the west. But then in Hebrews chapter 8, Hebrews 8 verses 11 through 13, we're going to find the scripture that addresses what Nova brought up at the end of last week's message. She raised the question about forgetting. We forgive, but what about forgetting? You know, well, look, let's see what the Word says about how God deals with our sins. And they will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, you should know the Lord. For everyone from the least to the greatest will know me already. The day is coming when Israel as a nation is going to, in a day, have their blinders removed, and they're going to believe, and they're going to know their Messiah. Many of you in this room already know your Messiah, so there is no blinders on your eyes. But look at what this passage says about their sins and their wickedness. And verse 12, and I will forgive their transgressions, their wickedness, their lawlessness. I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never remember their sins. We just saw, He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. Now that's pretty great. But this takes it to a whole new level wherein the Holy Spirit of God is revealing that when you are born again, the blood of Jesus Christ has been applied to your record and your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life and your sins that have been confessed are removed as far as the east is from the west. God says, and I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never remember their sins again. I'll never remember their sins again. That's awesome. So then, why do we remember our sins? If you're forgiven, who do you think keeps digging in the trash? It's not I don't believe God made anybody to be a negative person. I believe that the enemy digs in the trash and then keeps dragging it back out. You know, you sit down to read the... Now, you may be more righteous than I am in this, but sometimes when I'm getting ready and I'm just sitting down with the Word of God, I'm just calling upon the Lord, at that very moment, the enemy delivers a bunch of garbage from about 30 years ago. Bam! It just shows up. Those are the lies of the devil. It's not coming from God. It's coming from the devil. What about when you look at a brother or sister, your husband, your wife, your kids, and God deliver us from working for the devil and the destroyer? Well, this isn't the first time I've forgiven you of this. This isn't the first time this has come up. This isn't the first time that we've dealt with this. This isn't the first time that you've been such a failure. This isn't the first time I've had this conversation with you. Why is it, where has it come from, where we believe it is positive and faith building to drag somebody through they're trash? You say, well, I'm just trying to teach them, instruct them in the ways of the Lord. I'm so glad God doesn't do that. Can you imagine if God began to say, we've had this conversation before, Larry. And Larry, you can say Jonathan, right? God said, we've had this conversation before. How many times am I going to have to forgive you for this? How many times are you going to blow it? How many times are you going to mess up? How many times do you expect me to just receive you again as if nothing happened? You need to understand, God does not do that. If you don't know these scriptures, write them somewhere in the front of your Bible or someplace. Psalm 103, verse 12. That God has removed my sins as far as the east is from the west. And then in Hebrews 8, verse 12, God has forgiven my wickedness and my sins and has chosen to never charge me or remember them again. And it sounds silly, doesn't it, when someone says, why do you keep confessing the same sin that you already confessed once? Can't you hear God saying, I don't know what you're talking about? You say, wait a minute. Now, God knows everything. So how can God... Someone's going to say, okay, so I forgave them, but I can't forget. And you're going to say, well, God knows everything. So how can God not remember? Because of the blood of Jesus, there's a sacrifice that has been paid. So the penalty has been fully paid. And since the penalty has been fully paid, then there is no charge that can stand. And so if you're exonerated, then you are free from the charge against you. So if I say, I forgive you. Now you may have a lot of business to do with God, but as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to ask God to help me do what God does, and that is, I choose to not remember. Yeah, but I can't forget. I choose to not remember your sin against you. I choose to not bring it up. Say, well, I just can't forget it. You can choose not to remember it. When it comes up, you say, but the blood of Jesus has set, I don't know about them, but the blood of Jesus has set me free from the condemnation of the transgression. And so I'm free. The other person may not be free. That's between them and God. I can't make them right with God. But I can say, I choose to remember the blood of Christ. I choose to remember the empty cross. I choose to remember an empty tomb. I choose to remember that the same power that brought Jesus out of the grave is inside of me. I choose to remember that God, it's not His will that any should perish. Because maybe I would have been the one that was perishing if God hadn't chosen that. It's not the will of God, and yet we have to accept the gift. Is there anyone in the house this morning? So we're talking about freedom, freedom, freedom. A few weeks ago, now it's probably 2 weeks ago, I shared a message on communion in a way that I've never, in my years of ministry, ever shared it. I believe it's important that we examine ourselves. That Sunday morning, we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and then we went to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let me rehearse this part. Chapter 10 talks about that you must not sacrifice to idols while you're bringing a sacrifice to God. Now let me just state again what that means. That means if someone is in rebellion against God and willfully is rebelling against Him and yet comes as a religious act to present yourself and receive communion at the Lord's table, you're partaking of the body of Christ, when really you are rebelling against God, you know you're rebelling against God, and the Word of God is saying, if you're in rebellion, you're actually, it says you're worshiping idols. I mean, if the idol's controlling you, if the world's controlling you, then that's what you're worshiping. And so you come and you're actually living your life in rebellion against God. And then you come and do a religious thing as if that's going to be good. And the Word of God says that you cannot worship God and worship idols at the same time. I mean, you have an altar to the demons, you have an altar to God. It actually refers to demons, demonic service. So you can't honor God and honor the devil at the same time. So what is the solution? The solution is to surrender and be free through Jesus Christ. So then communion is not a time of condemnation. It should be a time of surrender and deliverance. And then you celebrate the body of Christ, understanding it, and then life is released to you and not death. But we did notice those who are making an offering to demons and to Satan, and they're coming masquerading as a part of the body. The Word says there's many sickly and many who are no longer with you. They've died. This area of forgiveness is very important. Talking about freedom. Want to be free from condemnation of the enemy and want to be free from the past. That's all through Christ, through His blood. Forgiveness is very important. We spoke about this some last week. Today, we're going to go back to Matthew. And in Matthew chapter 18, we're going to look at, and I do have the old NIV with me now, Matthew chapter 18. And we already looked at the passage of Scripture where Peter said, okay, how many times do I have to forgive my brother? How about seven times, Lord? Let me give you a suggestion. Seven sound good? And you remember, Jesus didn't agree with that. He said, 70 times seven. Stop counting. You know why? Because forgiveness often is something that you offer many, many, many times because the enemy keeps coming back saying, you have a right to be angry. You have a right to be upset. You have a right to carry a grudge. You have a right. You deserve. They deserve your bitterness and your anger. That's not a bad thing. And so the enemy would love for us to live there. But every time the enemy brings it back up, we choose to forgive. And so we saw this part about, Peter asking Jesus, that's in verse 21, how many times? So I want to start with, okay, so we're Christians, I have a brother, I've endeavored to forgive them, and I have forgiven them, but they have sinned, there's things that are wrong, what am I supposed to do about it? And now we're in Matthew 18, verse 15, Matthew 18, 15, if your brother sins against you, now remember we spent some time, if you bring your gift to the altar and when you come to worship God, if you remember somebody else has an issue with you because of whatever. We talked about that last week. Now we're talking about if somebody sinned against you. It's not them having an issue with me. They actually sinned against me. Now what am I supposed to do? You say, well, we're really good, godly people here in Stuart, you know. Come on, none of us have any of these problems. Well, then it's probably another church, you know. No, Jesus is talking to his own disciples. They're asking him questions. How, you know, what about forgiveness? How does this work? So the word says, if someone sins against you, a brother, a believer, not a wicked person, but a believer, a Christ follower, will just leave the church. It doesn't say that. Just ignore them. Go warn everybody about them. You do not want to, don't have anything to do with them. Wait a minute. All those things happen. But that's not what God says. God says, go and show. Now, ladies, don't think because it says him, it doesn't include you as well. This is how we're to deal with this. Go and show him his fault. And already, I can't wait to do it. I knew God was going to let me get even. I have a thing or two to tell them. And let me tell you, I've been rehearsing it. I've even written it down. I'm going to straighten them out. Wait. Again, if I go in a judgmental, critical spirit, there's not going to be any reconciliation take place. I don't need to go to someone to tell them they sinned against me unless I have a brokenness and a humility before God. Otherwise, I'm going to stir up more sin. Do you understand this? I mean, if somebody comes to you and says, you know, the Word of God tells me I've got to come and confront you because you're a real jerk, and I've had about all of this I'm going to put up with, and we're going to get this settled once and for all. And then I've had people come to me and say, oh, but Pastor, there's more in the verse. It says not only to go to them and show them their fault, take some pictures, make it colorful, right? It says to go just between the two of you. Oh, you mean I can't put it on the prayer chain? Somebody sinned against me. Oh, I shouldn't tell you their name. I want you to pray about this. This is why prayer chains lose their effectiveness when it becomes a gossip chain. Yeah, I got to go straighten somebody. Yeah, I got to go straighten somebody out because the Word says I got to do it. You know, I wouldn't do it if it wasn't in the Word. And of course, the Word tells me I got to do it. It says, just between the two of you? No, that's all right. I have to keep it quiet right now. But in a minute, I'm going to get it out loud. Because I already know their heart. They're not going to receive. Wait a minute. Well, I've already been through this before. And don't expect me to have more grace than God. I've already forgiven them once, and they know better. Wait a minute. Jesus, has already told Peter 70 times 7, 490 times. So here we are. I better just read it. Go and show him or her their fault just between the two of you, privately. This is how to have a spiritual revival, a breakthrough. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. This is revival. It's revival. Here we have this path. I'm confident that this is an area that the enemy desires to keep us away from. Division in the family, division between kids, division between an employee and employer, neighbors. Okay, it's a brother in this case. Go to him, show him his fault between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won a brother over. How do you know that is part of our ministry? It's a ministry of reconciliation, bringing a brother over. What's that mean, over? It means bringing them over the failure, bringing them over the sin that they did against you. If they're restored, they're brought over the plan of the devil to destroy them. And your brother is restored. Your sister's restored. I wonder what would happen if all of us in the body of Christ this week said, God, I want to be sensitive, and I'll go talk to anybody you want me to go talk to, and I will seek restoration, I will seek healing, I will seek reconciliation. I wonder what would happen in our counties. Oh, I like this part. If you will not listen, take others with you. Now we're getting somewhere now, God. Because I know a couple people, they can't stand this individual. And the Word says, I'm going to take two with me. They agree with me on everything. Don't expect forgiveness and reconciliation by bringing an unholy alliance. Don't find somebody that just agrees with you with everything and then take them along to straighten somebody out. Do you know how this works? I've experienced this. I know how it works. You go in humility the first time, and if there's agreement, then your brother or sister's restored. If there's not agreement, then it's time to let the Holy Spirit do the next step.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Nothing is impossible.